The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Christy Matthews, and my partner and co-host, Michelle Martinez, is not recording with me, but she did tell me last time she heard one of my solo recordings that my intro could use a little energy. So that was it. I hope you liked it. As usual, when I record by myself, I will not be by myself, just talking into the abyss. I have a guest. Today's topic is one that I think you're all going to love. We have touched on sort of subtopics around this, and that is Celebrating with Impact, or Celebrate with Impact is the name of this show, which we took from our guest. So I will introduce him now. Here we go. A nuptial maestro for a decade, Jose Rolon specializes in bringing comfort to a process that's famously filled with tough decisions and mounting stress. After his time at the Foundry, a luxury wedding venue in New York City, Jose went out on his own with the goal of leveraging his storytelling and relationship building abilities to create emotional and visual experiences for his clients. His work has been celebrated with The Best of the Knot, New York Times, Essence Magazine, Brides, and New York Weddings. Jose lives in Brooklyn Heights with his three children, and as a single dad, has learned how to keep his cool under pressure. He is also the host of The Wedding Buzz, a video podcast that has people's attention, keeping his finger on the pulse of the wedding industry. And that's on YouTube. At least that's where I found it. Welcome to the podcast, Jose.
Hello, hello. I love that intro.
Well, thank you.
And your pronunciation of maestro was so on point.
Oh, see, all that practice ahead of time and you still did it better than me. I think it's the accent. I missed a little bit in your bio, which is exactly what we'll be talking about in this episode. This last year, you launched Impact with Choice, a new initiative for your business and your clients, which we will dive into in this episode. But I wanted everybody listening to know that, as with all of our guests, when we have professionals on, you have so much to share about your experience with the clients that you work with, but also all of the universal advice that is fitting and appropriate and helpful for couples anywhere in the country or the world planning their wedding that want to think a little bit bigger and a little bit more globally, maybe, about what this big day full of big expenses and, you know, a big experience, big memories, what all of that can mean. Maybe if you're looking at the bigger picture. So that's kind of what I don't know, as we were working on the outline, that's where I was landing.
Yeah. I mean, that's all right. Where would you like me to begin?
Well, tell me your origin story. So that's my good, like, Terry Gross, you know, I'm like really good at this interview stuff. So tell me about yourself and your company. Sounds like if you're working for a venue and now you're the head of a company, are you the head wedding planner, a designer? What would
So I started, it's been 10 years now. So back in 2010, when my husband and I got married, we got married at the Foundry, which, as many of you out there might know, it's a pretty cool spot to get married in New York City. And so it is a raw space and we had to bring everything in, but in that process, I really loved it and I enjoyed it. And it was time for me to have a change. I was a video editor beforehand where I would take people's old home videos and create short films out of them. So I was doing my storytelling through a different medium. And I was just ready to get away from the computer.
And okay, that's kind of like a solo in a room
endeavor. Yeah, exactly. And for me, I think that I was ready to get away from the computer and really just be with people again. And, you know, everybody was encouraging me after our wedding, you know, maybe this is something you should consider doing. And so for me, the logical choice to get started was, why don't I ask for a job where we got married?
Because yeah, I figured,
yeah, what I know, but also it, no, being aware that it was a raw space, one of the most celebrated venues that the best of the best would be going through there in terms of vendors. So, you know, the best caterers, the best florist. And I figured if I work there, then I could really cultivate these really incredible relationships. And then from there, really decide if I want to launch my business. So as I always say, I stalked the Foundry girls until they hired me.
Did they have a job open or did they create one?
Not
for
really.
You?
There, I remember, I think there was someone there that there definitely was someone there previously, but they weren't necessarily looking. I think they could have probably used the extra help, but they weren't being proactive. So I kind of let them know where I saw some holes, and one of them was their website. And I think their website at the time was like a black background with red writing, so it looked really demonic. And I had some experience in website design. So I basically walked in there and I said, I will work a year for free at 33 years old, by the way. So at 33 years old, I was like, I will work for free for a year. I will redo your website. I just want to learn events and just put me wherever you need me. And it worked out really great. They ended up hiring me and I ended up, and within a few weeks, I think after they saw what I was doing on the floor, they put me on their payroll. And then within 6 months I was negotiating a salary and it worked out really well. And they're like family to me and I love them. And then in 2013, so I was there for a couple of years, and then 2013 in the beginning, the same month that my son was born, I left and I launched my business. I think initially I was thinking about being a stay-at-home dad. And I realized for me personally that being a stay-at-home dad was sort of my, and I think it's really great for all the moms and dads out there that stay at home, but I realized very quickly that I needed, that was my way of avoiding fear of failing, mm-hmm. right? I thought I could leave the Foundry, I could stay at the Foundry where it's really great money, but it's a lot of hours, but I'm also sort of tapped out. I peaked into what I can get from the Foundry, or I could be a stay-at-home dad. And then I realized, wait, I want the best of both worlds. I still love the wedding industry and I want to be the kind of dad that I want to be. So I ended up, you know, launching my business, and it's been really incredible ever since. And certainly now as a single father of three, I could not have been more fortunate in the decision that I made.
You kind of created the job that you didn't know you were going to need to have 7 years down the road.
Exactly. Exactly.
So working from home still mostly? I mean, do you guys have a set office somewhere?
So right now we work out of Dumbo House with my team. I also have, initially we were working from my home. I have a 4-bedroom, which I know is super rare for New Yorkers, but I was fortunate to get a 4th bedroom where we converted that into an office, which was really great. But I think I made the decision in order to grow my business, I needed more childcare. And so I used that room into a bedroom for an au pair. So now I have an au pair who lives with us, and then we all work out of Dumbo House. So it works out really well.
I know how old your kids are, but tell us, you had this, your son is about as old as your business.
Yes. Like. Yes. And so my son is 6 and my girls are 5. So they're twin girls.
Twin girls and a son, very close in age.
Yes.
And you're doing it yourself.
I am. And I think that, and for those that are wondering, you know, he said he got married. How is he a single father? And so, you know, just to get into that for a minute, my husband and I decided to have kids pretty much not too far after we got married. And then our son was born in 2013. I launched the business. Then we got pregnant again with our surrogate. And then unfortunately in December of that year, December 11, 2013, he unexpectedly passed away. And so I became...
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and what was even crazier about that is he passed away when we were 11 weeks pregnant with the twins.
Oh my God. How old was he?
Yeah, 48. So it was a heart attack. Yeah, it was a heart attack on a business trip.
Oh my God. My husband is almost 48. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. So you got a phone call basically. It was he was away.
Yeah. I was at an industry event. I was at a Christmas recording a video at a Christmas industry event when I got the call. So, as you can imagine what followed.
Yeah, that will set things.
Pretty crazy. And because we were 11 weeks pregnant, I only had a week to decide to follow through the pregnancy, because at 12 weeks, you can't make that decision anymore. And for me, I was pretty clear that I was not going to follow through the pregnancy in the moment. And then I decided on the very last day to follow through with the pregnancy. And I even announced during the eulogy that we were pregnant. So,
oh my God, I'm getting goosebumps. I cannot even imagine. Like, there's so many overwhelming feelings with having a baby, period, in the best of circumstances. I mean, as you know, with your son, like all of the first things that happen, and then to.
Yeah. Having, I mean, 2013 was the year I launched my business. I left the foundry. I launched my business. My son was born. I found out we were pregnant and I lost my husband. So,
oh my God.
2013 was wild on many levels, but I don't let my husband's passing define that year, because, you know, I also want to make sure that was the year we celebrated, you know, the birth of our son and really, now in retrospect, I mean, what a wonderful, that was kind of what I was speaking to earlier, which was how great is it that I did make the decision to start my business, because had I made that decision to be a stay-at-home dad when my husband passed away, then I think it would have been a very different outcome in terms of, you know, being able to get back into the business, or, you know, what did I have access to in terms of my resources and finances and
which might have led to a different decision on whether you keep or terminate or keep going with the pregnancy too. If it was
100%,
financially.
Yeah. 100%. So, all is to say, we are in 2020 and I am incredibly blessed. And I think to anyone that's listening out there, I mean, we've all have had forms of grieving. It doesn't just come in death, right? We've lost people in relationships, divorces, and grieving isn't linear. And I think it's so important to, be as present as possible and stay, have healthy distractions, stay positive, and really do your best to have an impact into the world, which I know is something that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, it sounds like by embracing you embraced certain decisions and went forward with them in a way that was a deliberate choice, rather than just like, when I get, you know, this, I'm just on this roller coaster and this is all happening to me, but you made things happen also that year and then continued to. So that's incredible. I think for myself, I'm not a religious person. I don't go to church. I would say I'm a non-believer, but when I volunteer, which I do really often with, in Texas, it was with a big like social services home that was mostly people formerly homeless with HIV, but we would go and we would serve dinner and like hang out with them. And it was a every week, every month thing. And then here I work with asylum seekers through the detention centers that are in Arizona. Wow. And that's kind of a need here. But what I'm getting at is that it doing that always feels like it gives me so much more than I'm giving. Mm-hmm. Like in the way that it feels like what church I think feels like to other people.
Right.
You know,
right,
like if that must be the feeling that some people get when they go to church and they walk out and they feel like full
rejuvenated
and just like kind of good about the world again when we start to feel down or overwhelmed. So in
I'm a firm believer, you don't need to be religious to create your own personal church, right?
That's what it feels like. It feels like tapping into that gratitude. And when you or your publicist first reach out to us about, you know, about you being on the podcast and what the pitch might be,
what got me was this idea of taking your wedding and making it in little ways or big ways have a positive impact on the world around us. And without getting too like bogged down and like, oh, we're spending so much money and there's going to be so much waste and I don't even want to think about it. It's my wedding. It's, you know, I'll recycle later.
Yeah.
It made me think like anything is better than nothing, like anything, any little step. So even if you get something out of that, like thinking about it in a bigger way, and you make that decision to recycle the food or the flowers or all these things we're going to talk about, that will make you feel good in the same way that, you know, volunteering makes me feel good. And it probably makes you feel good to know that
it does.
Encouraging your clients. And then, you know, we'll talk about your contract and the way this initiative is worked into how you work with your clients, but it's got to feed your soul. And just hearing like a brief part of your story, I'm just really glad that you have something that is continuing to be affirming like that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that testimony. And I think you're right. I think, you know, and to be clear with your viewers, you know, this isn't something that, you know, what we're going to get into, it's not something that we're forcing on anyone. It's not something that I'm going to judge you on, because maybe you're not going to jump on this, you know, this whole sustainability train that everybody seems to be on right now. But yeah, just sharing really in the small ways and big ways that we can make an impact. And I think right now, personally, I think it's really important. And I know that your listeners are listening from everywhere, but you know, when I think about, you know, New York and California and Miami and some of these more grander places for weddings, I mean, we've just become such a wasteful industry. I honestly cannot think of another industry that's more wasteful than ours. And there comes to a point where like I feel I started to feel a little guilty. And I'm not somebody who's, you know, I'm not someone who's rah-rah, like, you know, do this or you're wrong. And I'm not like a PC person either. And I also think at the end of the day, all right, well, this is the industry that I chose and I love it. And so I'm not here to necessarily make any sort of big shifts. But you know, when you have $20,000 worth of flowers, like, I mean, I'll give you an example, 3,000 white roses that were hanging upside down at one of my weddings this year. And that's 3,000 gorgeous white roses. And I'll tell you, it was a showstopper. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. But what, those were hanging for 6 hours and then snip, snip in the trash. It's that, you know, that was kind of a moment. I mean, I've had a few of those moments in the last several years, but that's when I knew absolutely, like, all right, it's time for me to do something. If other people want to follow suit, awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
And maybe it'll be a reason why somebody hires you over somebody else when they are considering, you know, a planner for their extravagant, expensive wedding.
Yeah, you know? This is like, yeah, like no bullshit. I was just on a call 2 days ago with a new bride that we just hired, and she said straight up, I called you because I saw your impact with Choice video, and that is really important to my fiance and I. And that for me was so affirming and validating that I'm on the right path.
Yeah. Even if it's one wedding for now, that she made that choice, it's worth it.
Totally. And
I think we sometimes mention, I'm guilty of mentioning, like using as an example, you know, you might have a $1 million wedding where you have 3,000 flowers hanging from the ceiling. Like I throw that out. I've not done a wedding like that myself, but throw that out as like an example of what probably the majority of our listeners don't have, you know,
yeah, when they're like
budgeting and trying to figure out how much can go here, how much can go here. And you're not dealing with six figures. You're dealing with maybe $20,000 total. But the truth is, no matter how big or small your wedding is, you're going to spend a lot of money. Proportionally, you're going to spend a lot of your income on your wedding, even if it's a backyard, chill, picnic style wedding in the middle of the country.
Listen,
it's more money than usual, and it's just one day.
Yeah, and listen, let's forget about those 3,000 white roses hanging upside down. Let's just talk about the simple 24 arrangements that are on the table. You got 24 tables and 24 small arrangements.
Yeah.
And it's like,
What happened?
I know, I see it all the time. It's the aunt, it's the grandma. They're like, wait a minute, you're not throwing that away, are you? What's going to happen with that?
Yeah. And you're like, you can take some.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sometimes, but you have to leave the vase or what? Yeah. It's
right. Exactly.
And Michelle and I both have done many weddings where we are the strike crew at the end, and we're just hauling stuff out to the dumpster. Like, I mean, I've pushed so many, you know, branches, spray painted silver, you know, or whatever, like into some big dumpster and just been like, oh, get me out of here. Mm-hmm. And we can get desensitized, you know, to it at the same time that we're seeing behind the curtain a little bit, just how much is being. So in a lot of ways, like as planners, we have to like snap out of it and be like, no, don't be desensitized to this. Don't make this the norm, do something.
Yeah.
And so in that way, anybody can get something from an episode like this. I wanted to ask, I mean, you said that the stories of you doing events where you're like, gosh, this is just so much, I have to make a change. But how did you decide on, mm-hmm. like, how did you whittle it down to this initiative, and how do you roll it out with clients? So what exactly is it?
So that's a great question. So I think that where it started for me, obviously, you know, I told you about those couple moments where, you know, I was a little uncomfortable with the waist. And then I started to look at other companies and what they were doing or what the options were out there. And so I've seen plenty of really wonderful, wonderful event planning and design companies that have been able to give back. And one I won't mention by name, but one of the wonderful things they do is that 10% of the proceeds from the clients they hire, that hire them, go to the LGBT community. Now, as a gay father, I think that's awesome. I think that's really wonderful. There are other companies that have various different causes, mm-hmm. right? For me, so I started to look at that model, and I'm always really uncomfortable with asking. And so what I realized in the ask is that, what is it that I'm asking clients to do? Am I asking them to donate towards something that I believe in? And I started to think about the things that I believe in. And then I realized, no, it's the other way around. I want my clients to donate to something they believe in, not feeling like the money that they're giving me is going towards a cause I believe in. And so that's kind of where the process started for me. And then I started thinking about the ways that we waste. And mm-hmm. so for me, it really came down to food and flowers and also just, you know, when you think about all the stuff that you get from a registry that you actually don't even end up using. And so I came up with this model, Impact with Choice, as sort of like a bit of a tier system, where now when you sign on with me, you have to either donate your flowers, donate your food, or donate your registry. And then the question becomes is, well, how does that work in terms of like, are you actually asking your clients to pay money? And I'm like, and the answer is yes, I am. And there's a free option, but basically, you know, if you have a wedding where I know a lot of couples out there don't have $100,000 wedding, but if one of my couples signs on with me and they have $100,000, don't tell me you don't have 2% to donate. Don't tell me you don't have 1% to donate. So
being that donation would pay for like the floral recycling company to come pick it up and drive them all to a nursing home or something.
Correct. Okay. Correct. So the way that the model works, Impact with Choice, it's for 2% of your budget. So let's work off of $100,000 just for listeners to just get what that looks like in terms of numbers. So for 2%, which is $2,000, you Repeat Roses, who I partnered up with, they come in and they take your arrangements and they donate it to a foundation that you believe in. So let's say you have a mom that passed away of breast cancer. Well, great. Awesome. Repeat. I mean, not awesome that you passed away from breast cancer, but
it's a cause that's personal.
Right. Repeat Roses will take those flowers to a breast cancer foundation they work with to deliver to women who are going through treatment of chemo. Right. But they work with about 20 other organizations, right? So whatever resonates with you, you can do that. And then for 1% of your budget, I've partnered up with Chip's Soup Kitchen in Brooklyn. And for $1,000, it provides 95 meals. It, like, separate meals, not from your wedding, 95 meals. It houses a mother and their infant for one whole month. Mm. And me and my team will take your leftover food and deliver it to the shelter personally. And that is pretty great. And you usually get a lot of moms asking about the wasted food, right?
Yeah, that's a great answer because of the specifications of where you know that that money and that food is going.
Yeah. And so let's say, the question is, oh, you're making your couples pay. But if for whatever reason you don't have the 2%, 1%, well, there's also a free option, which is Coco Bundle, who I partnered up with, and they're an online registry. And instead of your guests donating to stuff for your home, your guests are donating towards someone that's coming out of homelessness into a brand new home. So it could be someone of LGBT youth, which the homeless rate on LGBT youth is pretty high, or women of domestic violence, which also is very high. So they work with different shelters, one that is specific to LGBT community, another one that's towards women of domestic violence, among many others. And so you have options for 2%, 1%, and a free option. And so that model for me is what started to feel really good. And once I got the free option in there, then I was like, great, done and done. Mm-hmm. So before that, I would also offer a wellness package. And so in return, as a thank you to all of my couples that have made an impact on how they want to make an impact, I've partnered up with 6 wellness partners. So there's Melanie Kotcher, who does Pilates and yoga. There's Visions Contemporary Ballet. They do dance, 5-point acupuncture. My essential oil partners are doTERRA. So there's 6 different ways you can choices for wellness, and you
kind of
as
like
a couple,
self-care.
Yeah, self-care. Gifts. So as a thank you for making an impact, here are 6 wellness options. You get to choose 3.
Okay. And then those partners also know that they're helping.
Yeah,
because they're providing the incentive.
Exactly. And in that turn, even on the wellness side of it, you're also making a choice, because before I would offer automatically the first dance and Pilates and yoga, but not everybody does wellness the same. So it's like, maybe you want therapy. I'll Talk, they're another wellness partner. They do therapy. So if you want couples therapy, if you want a massage, if you want acupuncture, great. If you want dance, or you could just interchange it however you want. So that, in a nutshell, is impact with choice.
So I think I love the model. I love the idea of breaking it down as a percentage, because the truth is, by the time you finish planning your wedding, whether it's big budget or small budget, you feel like you're just hemorrhaging money. Like, sure, right. Throw another 500 over there, throw another 5,000 over there. Come to the end of wedding planning and like, you think you've spent your budget, and then 9 times out of 10, there's always something else. Okay, we got to get tips done, or we need to make sure we have the extra transportation for the grandmas. Something comes in there. So the idea of, okay, what's an extra 1 or 2% of 100 or 10,000, you're already spending it. If this has a really positive impact in your community,
and here's
you're not going to notice.
And here's the thing. If a couple is hearing donating 2,000 or 1,000, that feels like a lot. But if you say 2%, 1%, it's a different mental thing, right? Like you can digest 2%. You could digest 1%, maybe not donate. And not digest 2,000 or 1,000, right? Mm-hmm. So, but when you look at it on a percentage level, then it feels really doable. And it is, and I think for most people, it is doable.
Yes, because it's proportional to the amount you chose to spend in the first place.
Exactly.
I was thinking, as you were talking and I was typing a little bit, because I was looking up the companies that you mentioned, and we'll include all the links in the show notes like we always do, but
the flower, these are New York local area businesses, but there are places all around the country that do the same services in different ways with recycling food or obviously taking money and feeding people at their shelter or their home or through social services or Meals on Wheels. I mean, all the, there's amazing ways to.
There's so much. Yeah. Yes. You know, even in New York, there's Garbage Goddess. There's so many companies out there, especially now. I think, you know, I think now that you still have to do maybe a little bit of research, but wherever you are locally, you should, there's someone out there that's doing, you know, catching on.
Probably a little bit easier in a city like New York City. Like there's more options that have been around longer. And so they've cultivated a system that really is convenient. Mm-hmm. In my experience, and we've had listeners email us too, you know, I want to donate my flowers afterwards. What do I do? And I'll shoot back just like businesses I find online that'll do it. They'll come to the venue, they'll clear everything out and they'll bring it to, you know, a hospital or a cancer center or a nursing home or a homeless shelter. And you usually get to pick where it goes. But at the end of that, like, great list of things that they do, they'll say it costs $1,000. And then the person getting married who had a good idea and their heart is in the right place is like, another $1,000. Okay, forget it. We can't. Or it's kind of a hassle. Like, well, sure, we feed, you know, a homeless youth every Sunday morning. We go and we feed them and they all come to these tables and we set it up and it's really great, but you need to bring us the food Sunday morning. Can't take it Saturday night. And some little logistical hiccup will be in there where then the couple is like, well, we're going on our honeymoon. We're going to a hotel. Who's going to bring that food? Who's going to wrap it up? Does it need to stay refrigerated? Where does it go in the meantime? And it becomes a hassle. And then logistically you're just like, I can't even deal with this with everything else.
Right.
And I think,
so two things, if you don't mind, two things that I think would be really helpful is that, or as a, you know, as a possibility is that with Impact with Choice, it is something that it is actually part of our first, once we hire, once we're working together, it becomes the first item on our planning process. So it's not something that happens in the middle. It's not something that happens, you know, as we're, you know, going, you know, having the tastings at the catering where the question comes up, oh, well, what happens with all the extra food? Or, you know, during the floral preview 6 weeks out, where that's where it becomes in your mind to think about these things. It's something that happens in the very beginning, like our first one-on-one meeting. Great. So listen, you've chosen to have an impact. Let's discuss it. Let's, you know, map this out on how this might look like. Let's work it in from the top. And this way throughout the planning process, both you as the planner and the client have it in mind. It's here. It's not like back here somewhere. I realize actually I'm doing this thinking I'm being recorded, but like, you know, it's in the front of your mind versus the back of your mind. And then the other thing
helpful, even if you don't have a planner, right? That you say to your partner, we agree that this is important to us. So let's make decisions based on the fact that this is important to us. And
that's right.
Keeping that in mind, not so that 6 months from now, we're going to go, God, how the fuck are we going to get extra cake to an overnight shelter? We know they'll take it, but how are we going to do it? If you put those steps in place at the beginning, talk to your baker, talk to the shelter, remember your bridal party or member of your family that's like, I'm local. I can drive it over. We want to help all through the process. People ask you, what can we do? How can we help? You know, your cousin and I we're here. What can we do?
You know what, too? And you know what? And to be honest, I think that it's also a really wonderful way to, you know, sometimes you get moms that are overbearing.
Grandmas.
Grandmas that are overbearing. And one of the things, it's just occurring to me now as you and I are speaking, I always tell, let's take Impact with Choice aside for a minute. And it doesn't exist. I always tell my couples with overbearing moms, you know what? Ask them what's really important to them or give them one task.
Yeah,
one
we do
task.
Too.
Just delegate. One. Delegate one task and make them feel like it's the most important thing for you and for them. And so if you're looking for a way to have an impact, then then that's a great thing to delegate to your mom or your grandma. Mom, I want you to be in charge of making sure that, you know, you and your best friends get to deliver this food the next day to the shelter, or, you know, mm-hmm. just be in charge of making sure the flowers go where they need to go. I think that, you know, just even myself in thinking about it, it's something that, you know, I would even work in with my couples.
Mm-hmm. I think I interrupted you. So it's the first, you said you have, I think, two hints on like how to do this. If you're not in New York or you don't have maybe the resources, but the first one being build it into your planning from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's important to you.
That's right. Yeah. So you want to build it in, And then what was the second thing? I did get sidetracked.
Well, we are talking about the actual logistics of the night of and the morning after. Is there?
Right. Thank you. Yeah. So I was going to say, it might even be something from a company standpoint where, you know, maybe it's not $1,000, but, you know, you have to think about for you as your company, what would it be worth it to you to hire an extra person the next day to help deliver some of these things? Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know,
like
maybe
Postmate,
and you can let your clients, know that, listen, we're happy to take this on mm-hmm. for an added cost. You'll save money if you allow us to do it. It might be an additional $400, but that's what it costs to, you know, make this happen. And you mm-hmm. end up not having to spend $1,000 with like a company that, you know,
yeah. And I have when, as a planner, when I'm able to be like, I'll just take all of them because I'm volunteering tomorrow morning, or I live next to a woman who works at a senior home, you know, things that are just convenient to me. And I know I'm not lying to the, like, it's, I'm not, it really is going to go to these places, and that makes me feel good. But
yeah.
I would say if you don't, and even if you do not have a planner at all, it might take a little bit more work, a couple more phone calls to find a shelter or a food kitchen, a pantry that mm-hmm. is willing to or wants, you know, food. And we're talking about, like, let's say you have a barbecue catering and there's a bunch of trays in the back of barbecue food and sides that weren't even opened. Like, they just have foil on top of them. They're mm-hmm. cooked, they're fresh, and they need to be served soon. And they've been in a fridge. Like, I've done that wedding.
Yeah.
There is a place that will take them. It just is going to take some research. And I think we have to weigh, like, what's the peace of mind versus how much work and hassle, this mm-hmm. is going to be for me to make this happen. It's going to feel a lot better than knowing it's all going in the trash at the end of the night. And that,
yeah,
you know, flowers and food and cake.
And I do think that as a couple, what a wonderful, you know, if you have this conversation in the beginning, instead of jumping straight into, you know, what venue we're going to get married at, who's going to be invited to our wedding, who's not going to be invited to our wedding. You know, what a great way to actually start right? What you're doing is you're starting the next phase of your life to be together for hopefully the rest of your lives. And to me, what better way to start by thinking about how you as a unit, as a couple, want to make an impact, big or small, into the world?
So in other hints and like practices when we're talking about working this into your plans from the beginning, mm-hmm. you had other ideas that maybe a couple could think about.
So I think, you know, obviously everybody has different budgets and we're all in different markets, and not everybody can afford a planner. Not everybody can, you know, afford to donate a big, large sum to different organizations. But I think, you know, ways to be a little bit more thoughtful, for example, is, you know, when you do have your tasting with your caterer, ask them, you know, what happens with their food at the end of the night. If, you know, some caterers, I think, are really good now about being, they're able to be, their proportions are pretty good now, where, you know, if it's a good caterer, they won't have a lot of leftovers. So let me just say that right off the bat, right? There are caterers that don't give a shit and will throw whatever. I've seen it. It's so mm-hmm. horrible. But most caterers,
the cost of doubling
Yeah.
Once they're cooking the food, it's actually not that big of a difference. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So with caterers, you want to have that conversation with them, engage them in that. And if it's something that, if they see that this is important to you, they're going to be a little bit more thoughtful about, you know, if there's no one that they donate to, or if they don't have an organization that they work with, this caterer is going to think that this is important to you, and they're going to want to make sure that they are probably better in how much food they're ordering, and to make sure that a certain amount doesn't go to waste.
And so, who knows, you might be the third client that's asked them, you know, that week or in that month, where it actually, you're planting the seed of like, we, as a company, maybe we could do more.
Yeah.
So I think keeping your values at the forefront of your conversations with wedding vendors is a really good thing, no matter what you're really passionate about, because we vote with our dollars, we speak with our dollars, and where we spend our money. So
that's right. And it doesn't end with caterers. I mean, it's the same conversation you could have with your florist too. You know, what do you do with your flowers, you know, at the end of the night? And you're just by having the conversation, you're already having an impact with the vendors. And you're absolutely right. It's having them, it's planting the seed in their head about maybe how they could be more thoughtful as a company.
What happens after, but also maybe asking where they get the food, you know, are the flowers all, mm-hmm. if not locally, at least close to, and we're not flying in, which I think most florists work that out when they give you the proposal, like we can do roses, whatever, it's going to cost this much. Or if you want, we have to fly from Brazil.
Right. We could fly in cherry blossoms from Tokyo.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's been done. But,
yeah.
And I think all, you know, a few other ways, you know, I think you want to think more about maybe perhaps the vessels that, the flowers come in, you know, ask them about that, you know, are these vessels something that you're going to throw away? If it's something you throw away, are these things biodegradable? Are they vessels that, is it more like hardware? Can we take them with us? Or even something I've done with florists as well is, because I think a lot of florists will charge you extra if a certain amount of vessels are missing at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. And so you can even make a request to the florist. Is there something that can kind of cup into that vessel that can be like a takeaway, whether if it's, I mean, I hate to say plastic, but without just thinking about it, but something that is biodegradable underneath within that vessel that your aunt can just lift up and take home. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that it's part of that thoughtful conversation to have with your florist.
Yeah, we're going to take the arrangement. All my aunts, all the aunties, all the sponsors, whatever, they want all the arrangements, but they can't take the glass. So we just leave the glass vessel or vase or metal or whatever it's made of on the table, because that's, the florist is coming back to get all that, or the planner is going to strike all of that.
Yeah. And let your florist know you would like your guests to take home the arrangements. And the best way to also do this, and it drives me nuts when I don't see this happening in our industry, even the network. I mean, first of all, I think all the networking events are far worse than weddings sometimes, but mm-hmm. that's maybe for another podcast, but is to be able to take all of those arrangements wherever they are and make sure you put it out by the exit. Lay it out on the table, because if your dinner was in the tents that nobody is even seeing anymore because they're now in the reception, the dancing space, then they're not even going to think to take any of the arrangements. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that your team, or if you don't have a planner, make sure you're designated, you know, maid of honor or groomsman. They take those arrangements and have a designated table to go there, so that when people walk out, they can take them and they can enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. And this is fitting. And I've even done it at weddings where the couple did their own flowers, like truly mm-hmm. DIY flowers, like went to Trader Joe's and
love it
easy. And I've done this, and we included tissue paper, some wrapping, and some plastic from other boxes that we were opening up. And we kind of had a station at the exit where people could just grab the loose flowers and mm-hmm. take them home without getting water all over their, you know, like they're not holding something messy. But if you make it easy, for your guests to do it, they at least half the flowers, if not all of them, will definitely get taken. And that is recycling. They're getting another life the next day. They're going on somebody's kitchen table. So it's definitely better than nothing.
Yeah. And you can even get the opposite
problem occurs where people take too many flowers. You're like, you can't have that. You can't put that down.
I know, it's true. And you can even get I was thinking of not construction paper, but parchment paper, right? Like parchment paper. That works so well for, you know, just to just have, all you need is, $3.99 roll of parchment paper. And, you know, that's more than enough for people to just take that, wrap it up with a little string and take home with them.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other things to really consider too is, you know, if you're an older couple who has settled into your new home, and you really need to think, I mean, sometimes it's so easy. We live in such a gluttonous society that we're so down to have people give a shit all the time.
Even if
you don't need it. I mean, that's something to be really thoughtful about too. It's like, okay, you want a new coffee machine, but do you really need a new coffee machine when you've already got your Keurig at home? You know what I mean? Like, or do you, you know, plates, you know, the plates are you choosing? Are those like really everyday plates, or you just want them to pull them out for the holidays? You know, we just really be a little bit more thoughtful about the things you absolutely need versus the things you want just because you have that choice to get them. It's like, you don't even, it's even sometimes with registries, you don't even necessarily want them, but once it's presented in front of you, you're like, oh yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. I know.
It's easy just to like click away or go to Macy's, and it's fun to use the gun and.
No, I mean, all of that. I mean, look, I am with three children, I will tell you right now, I go down an Amazon rabbit hole when, you know, I'm just like laying in bed and I'm like, oh, let me just see what the new deals on Amazon are. And I see those choices in front of me and I'm like, hey, why not? That's like $6 off. And then I get all these boxes like a couple days later and I'm like, really? Did I really need this stuff? And so I think with your couples too, like if you're an older couple and if you're comfortable in the things you already have, really truly consider a company like Coco Bundle that will, you know, have your guests register for someone coming out of homelessness. I mean, because obviously someone like them, someone who, you know, a woman of domestic violence, as we mentioned earlier, I mean, how wonderful would it be for their mom, this mother and perhaps their infant to receive new bedding, utensils to eat with, a comfortable couch. I mean,
I think we have to frame it for if, like you said, if you're pretty settled and you pick a couple things for people to register for, guests do want to buy you gifts to celebrate you and your marriage, but thinking of it as an opportunity to, if say you have a 200 person guest list and you know everybody's going to spend about 50 to 100, if not more, on you, what a great opportunity to guide people to spend that money on something that you care about and that you're passionate about, or that you know is a need in your community, because they still get to choose. I mean, they can just write you a check if they want to. Congratulations. Yeah. We love you. Can't wait to see you, you know, next year. Love the Smiths. And it's a check for money, or it's a gift card somewhere. You can still divert that yourself, but it's a nice choice to give your guests and an opportunity for guests to say like, oh, well, they put it on their registry. They're directing us there. It must be what they want. So maybe I'm not the kind of person maybe that would ordinarily give $100 to a domestic violence shelter. I've never done that before, but this couple that I really care about put it on their registry. So it's opening people's eyes a little bit. You're not forcing anybody to do anything.
Yeah. You're giving them a choice.
Yeah. It's an opportunity. And then you too, as the person getting married, have the opportunity to feel good. Maybe at the end of it all, it's over. You have these great memories, these great photographs, and you get to look at Coco Bundle. I'm sure sends you something that says, here's how much we contributed in your name, or, you know, something that feels affirming.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I love about Repeat Roses is once they take the arrangements and deliver them to whoever they're delivering it to, what you get in return is a photo. you get a photo with this person enjoying your flowers. And it's part of the reason why I picked Repeat Roses versus, let's say, like Garbage Goddess, because Garbage Goddess is incredible. They come in, they take your flowers and they compost it. But what was important for me is that there's a human element to it. So that's why Repeat Roses, I love what they do and their model of being able to, you know, give back and show you what the human impact was. And that to me is really wonderful.
Yeah, because that is just like when we see things and we click on them, it is also nice to see the results.
Yeah.
And think like that just gives you a warm feeling. I mean, it's just a good, you know, you're doing a good thing. Nobody listening would be like, I don't want that single mom in a one bedroom apartment to get a new plates. I don't want that. Like, of course you want, of course you want that. It's just opening up this wedding planning period of your life, which feels overwhelming and it's stressful and it's a lot of money and you've never planned a wedding before. And it's all the things we started this podcast for. Yeah. It's also a time that you and your partner can say, we're about to start our life together. And we can do that, you know, in a deliberate way to make a positive impact and kind of get started on the right foot. You have that power. Even little things help.
Little things do help. And you mentioned earlier about, you know, a couple of yours that was DIYing for the flowers. I mean, that's also something too. Like if you are
DIY.
I always call it DIY. I write it as like DIY. If you are doing that also, like, and if you're ordering a bunch of stuff, something that people don't think about is if you make sure you order things in bulk, right? Because if you get to order things in bulk ahead of time, then there's less packaging to throw away, right? Even that alone has an impact. That's such a small way. But, you know, if you think about sort of like how you might order on Amazon, if you order sort of things all at once, then you kind of get everything in one big Amazon box versus sparsing everything out. And then you're having 15 Amazon boxes, which has more of those plastic bubbles, which has more of the wrap and more things to throw away. So that's something to, you know, consider down the line as well.
And you have on here online resources, and these were jotted down in you're thinking just literally saving paper.
I think that's it. I mean, I love a good sexy invite. You know, I want invites to look good. And there is some, especially in the age where we don't get letters Snail anymore, mail. There is something special about it. But, you know, if this is important to you on how to have an impact, and if you choose one thing, and that maybe that is you do a digital invite, and think about how much paper you're saving. And look, and I'll tell you right now, everybody that's listening, if I get married again, I want a physical invite. Like I'm going to send out physical invites because that's my jam. I'm going to make an impact in a different way. Mm-hmm. But maybe for you, this is, it's digestible. It's easy and it's digital and you don't have to worry about all this paper going out and certainly getting lost in the mail, because we know the post office is a hot mess right now. But you know, do things digitally, same thing with your websites. You know, try to have, let's say you are going to do a physical invite. Don't have the transportation card on there. Don't have the RSVP card in there. You know, that's like three pieces of paper times 160, however many guests you have, right? So you could cut that down to a third by having all of that information on your website.
Yeah, which we talk about the wedding websites a lot. And they've come a long way, baby. Like 10 years ago, it was a hard sell. Couples to do it because they're like, listen, nobody over 40 on my guest list, including my parents, is going to go to this website. And now people are much more savvy about that stuff. And they expect a website, you know, you have to Google map where the hell this farm is that you're getting married on anyway. Give them the website, give them all that information in one place and save some paper while you're at it.
Yeah. And even for your floor plans and your guest list, if you need like one space to do it all, you know, All Seated is a fantastic platform for couples to go in and move things around, arrange things instead of like pulling out this big, you know, rollout and diagrams that you're going to end up inevitably, you know, scratching out and doing over just because, you know, guests change, people cancel, and that's always a bit of a pain in the butt. So definitely use a lot of these online resources from All Seated. Zola is fantastic.
Zola alert. They're our sponsor.
Hey, so. Zola. Yeah, they're fantastic. You know, Zola's like killing the game right now. They're really, I think at first the industry was really scared of them. And I think now they've been able to figure out a way to kind of integrate the industry to say, hey, let's make all of this work together. So I like
think
what
you're right.
Doing. Yeah.
Yeah. All of the tools used to plan your wedding are easy, but then there's the pretty stuff and the design aesthetic and all the websites that match the invites that match the whatever that makes it fun. And like mm-hmm. the interface is easy to use. So I think they have done a good job of, you know, inviting us in rather than being like, we're going to put you out of a job. No one's going to need a planner anymore.
Exactly.
So yeah, keeping all that in mind, instead of maybe having everything printed out, everything in a big binder at home, it's mm-hmm. easier. I'm slow to the online stuff too when it comes to planning, because I like tangible.
Yeah.
I'm that person who has like a notebook and I'm always scratching things out and moving things around, and it's very like, you know, a beautiful mind. He's all like schizophrenic and it's all these writings everywhere. But mm-hmm. Of course it's easier to do this stuff digitally, because then you can share it with your wedding party and your family and your vendors, and it's all there. It's all in your Google Docs or your Zola site or whatever. So, you know, it's, we have to just transfer our minds over a little bit to get used to it.
We have to really adapt to both on the industry front and the consumer client front. I think, you know, technology continues to accelerate and we've got to keep up. You know, you have some of these other folks in the industry, I won't mention names, who are, you know, they're not,
digging
they can't
in their
seem
heels.
To, they, yeah, they, they're digging in their heels. And some of the adults we call in the industry, I consider us to be like the kids. Some of the adults, in the industry are really fantastic, being able to adapt. And then some aren't. And I think they're the ones that might be suffering at the moment.
Yeah. And we have to, we're just trying to think a little bit bigger. I loved your last, I always put on the outline, like last thoughts just so that but I loved what you wrote there. So I would, if you can share that.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good wrap up.
Yeah. We mentioned this a little bit in the beginning, which is, you know, I don't want any of our listeners to feel obligated or guilty or feel like that they need to jump on this new wave of sustainability and ways to make an impact. I mean, you know, don't do it because it's trending. Do it because you're really moved to do it. And hopefully, you know, listening to us today inspires you. But if this somehow feels stressful or too much to think about, you know, just continue planning how you've been thinking about it all along. And, you know, maybe it's just applying one of the things we discussed, and that alone would be worth, you know, doing a drive-by here to listen to us.
Yeah. I think the idea of doing it because you're moved to do it and keeping it in your mind and focusing on it from the beginning. That's how to like keep the seed there and then sort of water it as you go and keep it growing, instead of like, okay, just remember that thing I said about recycling flowers, forget it. We're too stressed out. My mom's going crazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight about it anymore. We're going to trash that idea. Like resist, because there are some things that make a small hassle or a small inconvenience or a small extra step or a small fee. And be heartened that it does go a long way. Mm-hmm. And, you and I would both love to hear from listeners who have made these kinds of decisions or are in the process of incorporating impact into their wedding days. So please, if you're listening and you're planning your wedding, you've already done some of this, or you're excited because you found a company that's going to recycle flowers, like shoot me an email, let me know. We love to hear that any of our episodes have, you know, landed, I was going to say made an impact, but have landed with listeners. So Jose, I will forward you anything I get from listeners who are like, yes, this is what I'm doing, or this is a commitment we've made, because
I think sometimes we need to hear it too, just like your client that said she's drawn to you for that reason. Like, we need a little bit of affirmation and a little bit of ego boost sometimes that like, it does matter and we're being heard. So
I would love to hear from, you know, any of the viewers. You know, you can forward that to me, they can connect with me personally. If it's something that they got from listening to us, or if it's something they were already thinking about before they even got to this podcast, I want to hear all of it. I think it's really, really fantastic that people are really, truly, genuinely thinking about it, and more people are walking the walk versus talking the talk. And it's really fantastic.
Yay. Thank you. Well, drop all the social media you have right now where people can find you, and we'll include it all in our show notes as well. But
yeah. So of course my website is joserolonevents.com. You can find me on Instagram, my business Instagram. It's at joserolonevents. My Facebook, it's the same thing, facebook.com/joserolonevents. And then I have a YouTube page where you can see all of the Wedding Buzz episodes, which I've been having a lot of fun with. We just wrapped up season 2, and season 3 will get going here shortly, basically where I get to interview a bunch of vendors and we have a lot of fun, and we sit down for 45 minutes, but knock it down to like a 3-minute video series. And you get to, I think the part that everybody loves the most are the bloopers and the outtakes. And
you edit it yourself? Like,
I do. Yeah.
Cause your former profession. Yeah.
Exactly. Just tying in what I used to do. And it's a lot of fun. And so you can find that on my YouTube page as well as on my website. I have a page dedicated for those episodes as well. And on my website, you could find more information on Impact with Choice.
And then you're using hashtag Celebrate with Impact.
Yeah. So Celebrate with Impact came from actually Coco Bundle. They were the creators of that wonderful hashtag, and they've been able to, they're like, we want Jose, we want you to take this and run with it. And they consider me one of the proud founders of the Celebrate with Impact movement. But yeah, it's hashtag Celebrate with Impact or hashtag Impact with Choice.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you. Please subscribe on iTunes, rate and review. These ratings and reviews matter so much, especially as in 2020, Michelle and I are trying to take the podcast to the next level, and we have to learn how to pitch ourselves and be more proactive with getting ourselves in front of bigger audiences and to more listeners. And what we tell them is that we have all these ratings and reviews, so it really matters. Please do that if you have a second on iTunes. On Instagram, we are at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and we hope to see you there. We use hashtag plan that wedding, and we search that hashtag, and so we're always commenting and liking, and we would love for you to follow us there. On Facebook, look for The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and we also have a Facebook community group that you have to, I guess, ask to be approved, and then we'll approve you into the group, and it's super helpful, collaborative thread there, and we post a lot of information there as well. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. We have a search engine, so you can search topics, and we do show notes, as I mentioned, for every episode, which will include all the links discussed and information about the episode and the guest. If you want to get in touch with us, the best way is email thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And new year, new fundraising, Patreon, contribution drive. We cannot do this podcast without our patrons. So if you want to join Patreon and support us with $5 a month, that would be so helpful. It's Patreon, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. We have a phone number, 415-723-1625. You can call and leave a message. We'll include it in a You Ask, We Answer episode at the end of every month. And we would love to hear from you there. So that is it. Have a great day, and thank you for listening. Bye.